will be by Kevin Minnick. He's from Virginia Tech, and his talk's going to be on temporal patterns of soil nutrient availability in the southern loblolly pine forests and prog switchgrass. So Kevin?
Thank you. All right, so today I'm going to be presenting some of my dissertation research, and I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Brian Strom and Tom Fox, who are also my advisors, as well as Eric Sucre and Zakiya Leggett from Weyerhaeuser Company, and Jose Zerpa, who is Virginia Tech as well. And so today I'm going to be presenting soil nutrient availability in loblolly pine forest intercropped with switchgrass. So some overall project goals are to simultaneously on these pine tree plantations produce traditional wood products from the pine trees as well as woody or herbaceous biomass feedstock. And so for this system to be viable in the long term and over large areas, we need to see the system be environmentally and economically sustainable. And so specifically for me, for my project, I'm looking at this from a below ground perspective and looking at nutrient and carbon cycling and availability. Today, my focus will be on nutrients, specifically nitrogen, and can ask a simple question: will soil nutrient availability meet both pine and switchgrass physiological demands? This will be important to have maximized productivity of both species. For this to occur, we need to see or expect or hopefully see low competitive interactions for these nutrients between the pine and switchgrass. And again, just to have this continued high productivity of pine trees as well as this production of bioenergy crop. So on the left is a diagram showing just the location of the Lenoir One Sustainability Research Site. It's on in eastern North Carolina in the lower coastal plain. These soils are naturally very poorly drained, and so on this site, ditching has been maintained to lower the water table and decrease soil water saturation. Bedding is further implemented for the pine trees to be planted on to raise the root level above the water table and increase soil aeration and seedling survival and growth. On the right is a diagram or a drawing of the layout of the treatment plots, and this is a randomized complete block design. There are four blocks with seven treatments that I'll go over in a minute, each block containing each treatment, so there's four replicates. There's also a reference plot, which is a 30-35-year-old pine plantation that was left from the previously harvested plantation on this site as a comparison to the young stand, to an older stand. And so the pines were planted in December 2008, and the switchgrass was planted in the inner bed, and I'll go over that in a minute, in June 2009. And this was important to give the pine trees somewhat of a growth advantage over the switchgrass in the early stages. So treatments, I'll walk you through this in this quickly. And this is how my legend or for my figures will be set up. So there's a biomass removed and biomass left in place treatments, and this is basically just the residuals or the biomass from the previous harvest. So they were either taken off site or left in the interbed. And so on the top there is, right here we have just sort of traditional management. So you have pines embedded rows, either with or without the biomass left in the interbed, and no specific interbed treatment. There's pine intercropped with switchgrass. So again, the bedded rows have the pine trees in them, and in between the bedded rows and the interbed is where the switchgrass has been planted. And that is also with the biomass removed or biomass in place. And finally, there's also, as a possible harvest in 5 to 10 years, for biomass, extra row of pines planted in the interbed with or without biomass removed, and then just a switchgrass plot for comparison. And so just two pictures, just as examples. This is pine intercropped with pine, and you can see the little pines right here in the interbed, and then here are the pines in the bed. And then here is a picture from early spring this year of pine switchgrass, and so pine in the bedded rows and the switchgrass in the inner bed, which is cut yearly around December, and you can see it's already beginning to grow back in probably early May, or early March, excuse me. And so my research question is really just and my focus has been on switchgrass for various reasons, but so for this, my focus, my question is, has switchgrass altered the availability of nutrients in the bed and inner bed? And here's a nice picture of the baler coming through the inner bed and how this management would actually occur. So the field work, what I've been working on, so we've been using these exchange membranes, cation and anion exchange membranes, and these I'm putting in the surface mineral soil of top 10 centimeters, and these have been placed in the field continuously since July of 2009, so 1 month after the switchgrass was planted. And so every 4 to 6 weeks, I come in and remove the membranes that have been out there and replace them with fresh ones, take the collected ones back to the lab, extract them in KCl, and analyze them for nitrogen and other macro and micronutrients. And again, my focus today will really just be on nitrogen. So this is, I have two slides with figures, so I'll go over. On the top left, on the x-axis is time. So down here it's July 2009 through July 2011. On the y-axis is the nitrogen, and that's expressed as micrograms of ammonium or nitrate. Nitrate's on the bottom, ammonium's the top row. Micrograms of nitrogen per centimeter squared of membrane per month. So it's standardized for the size of the membrane and for the time period. And on the left column, we have the biomass removed treatments. This is the bed. I'll show the inner bed data in a minute. On the right is the biomass in place, and I've also placed the reference data just over here, although it could be placed over here as well. And in each slide, I just have the repeated measures ANOVA results for the statistical analysis and bolded where there was a significant effect. And so what we can see here is, so this is 7 months after the pine trees were established and a month after switchgrass. And in biomass removed, biomass in place, ammonium or nitrate, there's this tendency to see this Isard period or effect. It's more pronounced in the nitrate and a quicker drop down to these baseline levels that you can see occurring. And then with ammonium, it's a more gradual drop. But another thing to point out is that the inner bed treatment. So again, these treatments are really in the inner bed. There's not switchgrass in the bed, but just to look at it in this perspective, there is no influence of the inner bed treatment on bed nitrogen so far. And also, I think it's interesting to note, and so for the reference stand, I've only been measuring these nutrients since this summer, but you can see that the level, and so these are the white triangles, the level of nitrogen that I'm measuring in the reference stand in the top 10 centimeters is almost identical to what is I'm measuring in the treatment beds. So for the inner bed, there's a little bit more going on, which I guess is to be expected. Again, it's the same layout. On the top is the ammonium in the biomass removed plots. I've also included the switchgrass only treatment as a comparison in the inner bed just because of the way the treatment plot is set up. And then again, the biomass in place, so pine. So here the red and blue, we have the pine only, biomass removed or biomass in place, and pine with extra pine. And what we can see is, again, in ammonium and nitrate, at least in these three, is this fairly clear Isard period, that, and then sort of coming down to a baseline level. But also what we see is in the switchgrass intercropped and switchgrass only, there is this significant reduction. So these letters are indicating significant differences at a p equals 0.05. And so in the first 6 months or so during this ASR period, we see this decrease in ammonium in the switchgrass and the pine switchgrass treatments, which coincides with a decrease in the nitrate, and so in the biomass removed, and also slightly less dramatic, but a decrease in the biomass removed or biomass in place plots for the switchgrass compared to the non-switchgrass. For the biomass removed plots for ammonium, we don't see a significant difference between the different intercropping treatments. And so here, the switchgrass was fertilized last summer, and so this line just generally represents the date at which this was fertilized. And in, I think most importantly here, you can see a significant increase in the switchgrass ammonium availability, slight increase in pine switchgrass, no different than the other treatments. And then here again, there is a tendency for increased ammonium availability from the urea fertilization in the pine switchgrass intercropping with the biomass in place. But important note here is that the increase in ammonium did not result in an increase in nitrate, and I'll, in the conclusions, just hint on what I think is going on there. And again, the switchgrass was reduced in ammonium and nitrate in 09. And again, sort of similarly, the reference stands are plotted over on the right that were just circled. And the levels aren't as clear, I guess, as they were in the bed comparison between the treatments and the reference. But what it seems is that these levels, as measured by the membranes of nitrogen, are somewhat similar between the treatment plots in the inner bed and the reference plot in the inner bed. And so for conclusions, I think the main take-home message is that it appears that the switchgrass is efficiently utilizing the nitrogen in the inner bed at a time when it is spatially inaccessible to the pine trees, as well as exceeding pine tree demand. So we aren't seeing this loss of nitrogen either to competing vegetation or loss from maybe leaching or some sort. So there's this nitrogen in excess during this ASR period is efficiently being utilized to produce this bioenergy crop. There's reduced nitrogen in the inner bed over the short term. I think this has important implications. One, because after this reduction, there's no difference between the treatments in the inner bed. And if you believe the membranes, then it is possible that it's not having a competitive difference than a non-switchgrass treatment. So if these treatment comparisons are the same into the future until canopy closure, when the switchgrass is expected to die back, then maybe it's not actually going to have any different influence than a regular competing vegetation in the non-switchgrass treatments. Also, I think it's interesting just to see that we've possibly already hit a similar level in a 3-year-old stand nitrogen level as what we're measuring in a 30-year-old stand. The reduced nitrate, I just bring that up because I think that's likely just due to uptake of ammonium by the switchgrass, and so it's reducing. It's just ammonium's gone, so it's not being nitrified, so there's not nitrate. And I think that's possibly what's going on there, and it's especially evident from the fertilization where it didn't show up at all in the nitrate pool. So for future research, I'd like to look at how this change in nitrogen availability influence other aspects of carbon and nutrient cycling in the soil. So is this causing some competitive disadvantage to microbial organisms? Is this altering the nitrogen transformations, as well as how the rooting structure and mass of the switchgrass might influence carbon dynamics which is somewhat of a separate question. So I'll thank my funding agencies and organizations, Catchlight Energy, Virginia Tech, and the Forest Productivity Cooperative, and I'll take any questions if there's time.
I think in the interest of time, we'll just go ahead and next speaker will have a question.